You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments. Here we go again, another fun Tuesday. Yo.
Yo. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Hope everybody had a great weekend and a great end of the week last week.
Oh my goodness.
A lot has gone on and everything since
then. A lot has gone on. So, it's been a wild week, that's for sure, huh?
A lot of ups and a lot of downs, let's put it like that.
And more ups after, yeah. It's been a good week. It's been a good week. It's summertime. We have a heat wave everywhere, too. So everyone is feeling the full effect of summer.
I can tell you that I'm feeling it right now, too. It's finally hitting in the 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, 90s in Canada. So I can't complain right now.
That's awesome. Yay, it's summer. It's officially summer.
Speaking of summer and warm weather.
Yes.
Aren't you going somewhere soon?
Yeah, well, right now I'm out at the river.
Oh.
It's 113 degrees out here. I was in Vegas over the weekend. I don't even know what today is anymore. Tuesday. I was in Vegas over the weekend, so they're having a hot spell too. And then I'm flying to Barbados in a few more days.
Oh my gosh. So your first you flaunt.
The Caribbean.
That you're in 100 degree weather. And then you go, oh, I'm going back to the Caribbean. See, right. I feel great. But it's the time. It's the time to travel.
Set up. I got a week in Barbados for $250 in a one bedroom next to the water and a resort. For the whole week, it was $250. And then I have free flights because I've been using my algorithm on flying and found a hack where I have unlimited flights the whole entire year free, and then I can do business upgrades for $100 or like a different types of upgrades on my class, depending on what type of seats or whatever I want, but I can get business class for $100 more anywhere I fly.
Yeah, business class, when I go to look, for example, in terms of like comparing what Elizabeth gets and what I get, what the normal consumer gets is, I go to upgrade my business class ticket and I'm paying another $500 more to upgrade.
Plus on top of your ticket, though.
On top of the ticket.
Right. I get the whole entire flight for free. But if I upgrade to business class, it costs me $100 more.
It's not using
miles. It's actually booking it direct with the airline. I just have a travel hack.
More travel hacks. And it's perfect for the summer. You can... like going anywhere right now for you is using these travel hacks is kind of like optimal. You get to go everywhere for super cheap and you can fly in style and business class.
Right. Yeah. And I can fly international too. So I can fly through the States or international on it and go to the Caribbean or Mexico or Costa Rica, Cancun, Orlando, Miami, ooh, New York, Denver, yeah, all over. So,
oh,
it's cheaper than gas. Driving my car, like $5 gasoline, and then gas cost me probably, I don't know, to drive 5 hours, $75.
Wow. So, in the free flight, upgrade $100, a little bit of comfort.
Right.
Maybe a nice meal on the plane. I can't complain.
Front row seats with nobody next to you. That's nice.
Oh, the leg room.
Yes, I need the leg room.
It's either you get the aisle or you get the front seat, and the leg room is just the best.
Yes.
Leg room over window. That's my motto.
But I'm excited. So I'm doing this little thing again where I'm using just my algorithms and I'm using my apps and my bots and my AI, and I'm going to plan the trip, but I'm going to probably island hop in the Caribbean, but I haven't planned my next destination. So next week we might hear where my following destination may be. I haven't decided yet.
You're everywhere, so I wouldn't be surprised if you go back to Florida.
Well, I want to hit some more islands. I've been to most of the Caribbean. I think there's only like one or two that I haven't been to yet.
Huh? Never know.
Yeah. Just
hope there's good Wi-Fi.
Yeah. We need, the only reason I'll stay is if there's good Wi-Fi. So hopefully I have good Wi-Fi next week.
That's the factor with anything. If you're doing anything in Web3, you know, everywhere you go, it has to have good Wi-Fi.
Right.
So if you don't have good Wi-Fi, you can't work.
As long as I have my cell phone, my laptop, and Wi-Fi, I'm good to go. I can be anywhere in the world.
Yep. And then there's people like me. I need to have a full-on computer setup in order to be functioning. So there's two different types of people. I can't work on my phone. Uh-huh. The small screens get to me.
I do everything on my phone. Yeah.
Yeah, not for me. But travel, and you mentioned that you like the travel hacks again. And which one in specific are you using to get these flights for so cheap?
So we have a AI bot that we built out. The algo has been built out for over 8 years, and I traveled on it. I did over 30 countries now on it, and all over the United States. I think I've done 35 states on it. Like, that was my trip when I went. I did Vegas to Hawaii for $100. In the past, I've done Hawaii to Australia for $99, Hawaii to Japan for $150. That was also the one I did San Francisco to Paris for $125, stayed overnight in Paris for $50, and went to Euro Disneyland for $50. So it was cheaper than going to Disneyland in California, and I went to Paris instead. I've done, Las Vegas to Orlando for $25, Las Vegas to Nashville for $33, LA to Europe for $125. I think I did LA to Oslo, Oakland to Oslo for $125. And then I country hop. So like once I got into, I did to LGW. So London Gatwick, did LA to London Gatwick, and then country hop went to Ireland for $25. And then from there I went to Greece, I think for $79. And then stayed in Greece for like 30 or 40 days, and then went to Spain for like 39. Once you're in Europe, you can country hop. It's cheaper than taking the train. Like, a lot of people I know like to take the train across Europe, but I was just flying. And then I did a round trip when I did LA to Hawaii, Hawaii to Japan, Japan to Australia, Australia to New Zealand, and then New Zealand to Fiji, and then back to LA.
That's more traveling than I've probably done in my entire lifespan.
That was like one trip. I think I did 45 hours of traveling I did it just to do it, not necessarily because, you know, like I'm like, okay, let's see how many flights I can get and how many countries I can see. So it was kind of like a challenge, but so now I extended my trip, so I'll at least stay a week somewhere from now, or before I would go in for a country and then stay there for 3 or 4 days and then hop to another country and then stay 3 or 4 days. But like when you're in Europe, you have Schengen and non-Schengen countries. So like the Schengen countries, you can only stay in within, I believe it's 3 months, and then you have to leave for 3 months and you can come back in again. Or the non-Schengen, you can go into those countries or you can go back into the States if you're a US on a passport. So I would go in, stay as much as I could, and then leave and then come back in again. But
yeah. Well, I have to apply for my dual citizenship, so I can travel like that too.
Then you can be everywhere. You can be all over the world and not
exactly
have to, right?
I could do anything. Absolutely anything I want.
Right.
I could either get a Greek passport or I could get an Italian one.
You know, or both.
Or both. Or both. Well,
I mean, it's European passport, so one European, but you'll have all the different.
I just gotta figure out which one looks better. which passport looks better?
I think European is maroon color, from what I remember.
I'll have to look at some of my family members to see what they look like, because I know the Greek ones have they do some cool designs on it, and the Italian ones are fairly bland and basic, but some of them are leather. So maybe if I upgrade, I can get a nice Italian leather passport.
Yes.
That would be kind of cool.
When I was in, where was it? Oh, I was just in the Bahamas. I don't even remember if they stamped my passport. I have to look.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah.
But I think they did. They probably did. But yeah, the best thing too is I have a GOES pass too. So it's called GOES. It's a global pass. And a global pass, you can, if you're in the States, you can get 5 years. It's attached to your passport. So wherever you travel internationally, when you come back into the States, instead of waiting in that 3-hour line to get through customs, you just go to a kiosk with your passport, scan your passport, and you'll get a printout saying that you're cleared, and you walk right out. So it's called a GOES. It's a global passport. And you also get TSA PreCheck on it too. It's only, what I paid for it was only $99. It renews every 5 years for $99. It includes TSA and it includes global also. And so like when I was coming back from the Bahamas, we had to go through customs to exit the Bahamas. And I just went to the kiosk and everybody else was waiting in line for 3 hours. I just went to the kiosk, went through, got my slip of paper, walked right out, like went to the special line for people that are in global passport, and then walked right out and I was done and everybody else was still waiting. So like if you're late for your flight, it helps. And most of the time when you're leaving the Caribbean, the lines are like 3 hours to get out. Like St. Martin, it was 3 hours and a lot of people missed their flight. Like they tell you to get to the airport 3 hours ahead, but the line was 3 hours and you're supposed to already be there an hour or two to fly out. So some people missed their flight because they were still in customs trying to exit out. But it also includes a TSA. So all of my flights within the States are TSA also. So I get TSA pre-check on all of them. But you do have to go through a background check. You have to get fingerprinted, and then they run your credit, I believe. And then you do an interview to go through this, but it's completely worth it. So they want to make sure that you're safe traveling.
I would do it. I don't know if that's in Canada. I think we have another thing in Canada. I do have a TSA pre-check, but I don't know if it's
global.
If it's anything. Yeah, if it's a global one.
All right. So...
yeah, well, that sucks for Canadians like me, but oh well, it is what it is.
But it's kind of funny, even though I have it, so I went through the TSA pre-check line. I think it's because I've been traveling a lot. My luggage was searched every single time I went through. It's probably because of the way I pack. I'm not neat like you. I'm very messy. I'm packing. Me packing is like throwing everything into my suitcase and like going.
No, I have to, I color coordinate sometimes too in my suitcase.
Oh my goodness, no.
I like to know everything in a particular order. And if it's not right, then
we
do it.
I'm like impulsive and I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to fly today. Where should I go? And then I throw everything into my luggage. I'm like, oh, I'm missing my travel stuff. I better go pick up some travel stuff. I'm missing my mini bottles of shampoo.
Oh, no. I could never do that. I could never do that. Nope. I need at least a week advance.
And then, I did it again. I forgot. I don't think I brought my travel pillow and my travel blanket again.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a 5-hour flight, too. Oh, well, that's okay.
This is actually a tip. Don't buy that stuff in the airport.
Yeah, I know. I can have a collection. It's like Hawaii, Las Vegas, Florida.
But you can do so much more in the airport than if you were to go to like a superstore, like right. whatever it is there. Like you can even Walmart, go to like a Walmart, Target, anywhere. And you can get something for like, I don't know, like $5. And you go to the airport and they're like $25.
Right. And then you lose it anyway, so...
yeah, you'll forget it the next time you go on a flight, and you're like, oh, I got to buy another one.
But the travel hack is, and unless you travel a lot, so most people probably do, is always bring gum. So when you're flying, you have gum to chew on the air pressure. And then bring an empty water bottle, because you can fill it up at the airport after you go through TSA, because you can't bring water through the line. So you bring an empty water bottle, and it's also good when you land, you have water, or if you're going to your destination. And I'm so funny. I love, love, love my coffee. I need coffee. But when you've been traveling, you're tired. So the next day, you may not want to get up and go to Starbucks like you do. So always. I bring instant coffee with me just in case I'm too lazy to get up the next morning. And I just want to like enjoy being in whatever destination I'm at.
I'm always too scared to travel with stuff like that, like the instant coffees or like the packets of like creamer or like little sugars to put in the coffee. I'm too scared to travel with that stuff because like I'm scared TSA is just going to go, yeah, nope, not allowed that.
So I bring instant coffee and cocoa with me.
Oh, the best combo. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'll wake you up in the morning, that's for sure.
There we go. So this has been an exciting week in AI also, and in crypto. Like crypto, we've been fluctuating on ETH and BTC, and the Fed had met like 7 to 10 days ago. And so the market usually fluctuates whenever the Fed meets. They didn't raise rates this time, but crypto was affected, Dow was affected, NASDAQ, everything was affected. But it's been a, like we said, a kind of a roller coaster week, right? And AI.
Everything's been a roller coaster. ETH and Bitcoin have been fluctuating. They were on a downwards trend, just broke the actual downward motion.
And we bounced back.
So it's looking very promising right now. Other than that, AI has been absolutely going crazy. A lot of big tech revolutions being made, and a lot coming from people I know. I don't want to name names.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming on in AI right now. And a lot of businesses are coming over to Web3 now too. A lot of people are coming over onto the blockchain, smart contracts, into crypto. And
real estate as well. It's a business.
What?
Real estate businesses as well.
Interesting, yeah. And all the things that we've been discussing for the last 12 weeks are coming to life now.
Someone's listening.
Right. But there's a lot of opportunities in Web3 too. But then it's also a learning curve. So the people coming over who haven't been in crypto and haven't been like know how the marketing works or how you promote or who you push to or what your audience is. It's a different audience, but the audience is expanding now that we're also bringing in real life and Web2 and real businesses are coming over. So the audience and the market share is expanding, but then also targeting the people that are existing already in Web3 and then existing in crypto is kind of like a narrowed focus. You need to bring them on board too.
You need to onboard them. You need to figure out what they like. You need to test the waters, jump into communities, talk to people, watch Twitter. Crypto Twitter is... Like we've explained over and over, crypto Twitter is completely different than any other form of news or social media that you've ever seen.
Right.
It provides you perspective. It provides you hopium, copium, all the things that we discussed, these Web3 terms. It will throw you for a mental loop. Everything is contradicting itself, and you never know which way it's going to go.
Right. So, but it's good if you're on the inside and you're talking to people and you know what's being launched and what's going on, or if you have a bot that tells you as soon as it's launched.
Exactly.
Right.
So
yes. So our ASIC ETH has been pinging like crazy and catching. Wait, we just caught another crazy X. I have to look it up though.
It was like 5 digits?
Yeah, on the X.
Yeah, on the X.
Yeah, if you caught it on the first ping and then you exited at the all-time high, the spread was pretty high. And it's on meme coins. Like, we track meme coins. We also track ETH and BTC and predict usually when that starts to run. And then revivals on meme coins. But it'll catch the very first ones coming over, and then you enter into the trade, use a system strategy, and then de-risk and then take out profit and ride for free. So that's the goal.
Make sure you always de-risk. Right. Sometimes even I forget. but you have to get into a habit of de-risk, de-risk, de-risk.
Right.
Once you take out your initial, you can't lose. If you can't lose, then
right, you can write on safe money.
You can write on safe money. It doesn't affect you if it goes up, if it goes down. If it goes up, more money. If it goes down, you're not emotionally affected. All your money's already out. It won't hurt you.
Right.
Save your coffee money for the next day. Go buy a coffee.
So we have ASIC on ETH, and then we also have Base now, and the Base is going to be coming out to the public. So it's been just for the holders on ETH that have been able to try it for the last 3 months, and now we're releasing it to the public.
So for those of you who don't know, AISIG on ETH is the ETH blockchain. AISIG on Base is the ETH L2 chain with almost zero gas fees. You're paying like maybe $1 to 50 cents sometimes on gas fees, which is much more significantly less than paying $5, $10, $15, sometimes $20 on Ethereum. You're paying less gas, and there's new strategies in place. There's one. There's another blockchain that this relates to almost directly, but not. It's a layer one blockchain. It's Solana, but being that Base is a L2 of Ethereum, it still applies the same strategies that Ethereum has, but there are some key differentiators that kind of you have to watch out for, because it is a lot easier for people to buy and sell into the token. So there will be a lot more fluctuations or more drastic movements up or downward on the chart.
Yeah, so Base is easier to get into because Base has the lower gas. And so if you're investing $10, your cost is about $10.50 to get into. And then if you're exiting, you would hit $20 on your play and then de-risk and pull out your initial $10.50 and leave like the $9.50 to run. Again, this is do your own research, not financial advice. It's educational purposes only. But we have bots that track and find the lowest entry and then ping and give information on when the token has a high probability of keep running. And then the volume comes in and then it'll catch a higher X on it. So it's basically like a trading platform on stocks, bonds, futures and options, but we built it out with AI over on the smart blockchain.
the smart blockchain. Are we calling all the other blockchains over, dumb? Yeah, that's it.
Very smart blockchain. We built it over on, I'm looking at all of our wins and trying to talk. We built it over in AI on TG, and so you can access AI signal through that. But like just a couple of our wins we had, let's see, we caught Kendu, K-E-N-D-U, at a 1.8K market cap. It went to a 9.43 million market cap. So the return was 5,239X. Caught another one called Workie, W-O-R-K-I-E. So a lot of these will run up really fast. They'll hold for maybe like a week or two, and then they'll die down. So by using the system and the strategy, you'll get in at the lowest entry point. So it's basically like day trading. You get into the lowest entry point, and then you de-risk, pull out your initial, and then you let it run, and then you pull out your profit as you go along. And then usually these tokens will fade out. Some tokens will hold. They won't ever hold at their all-time high. Some may break out at their all-time high, like Mog has broken out a couple times. But most tokens usually will die down and then they'll go away. So the goal is like to get in, get your profit, get your initial de-risk, get some more profit, and then the token will fade out. So you'll close out your position. But like Workie was 2.1K on the initial, on the first MC, and then it went to 2.84 million market cap. So it hit a 1350X. I have to find APU.
1350X meaning 1,350 times your initial.
Not so, percent, but X, yeah.
Yeah, so if you invested a dollar, it would have been $1,350.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about.
That would be your return, right? And then we had Andy, let's see, let me find some of them. Andy, we caught it at 42K market cap, and then it went to 318.87 million market cap. So it had caught a 7,450X. Caught another one called Magonomics. It went from a 7.68K market cap. It hit 20.67 million market cap, all-time high. So it was a 2691X. And then, let's see what else.
I'm sure the list goes on, to be honest.
Right, I was trying to find APU. APU is one of our big ones.
APU was very, very, very big. Let me see if I can, I might have it.
Okay, so APU, we caught it at, I think at this, it was higher than this. So we caught it at 4.4K. And then one of the old ones I have, say it went to 404 million market cap. I know it went higher than that. So it was a 91,818X. So if you put a dollar in on that trade, I mean, it was ETH though, so you probably would put 10 bucks in. Worst case, right?
Worst case, 10 bucks because you have the gas fees.
If you went from the very beginning entry at the 4.4K market cap and you only put $10 in, you would have made $918,000, 180, like
$918,000 from
$10. On a $10 trade, yeah. So that's the good thing about meme coins is meme coins start really low because they're new launches. They're brand new tokens that are being launched on the blockchain in crypto. They're either tied to ETH, they're paired with ETH, or they're paired with Base. And so our bots find the lowest entry and then try to get you the highest return and then teach you a system and strategy to enter and to exit. But we've had ETH around for over 14 months now, so people have been trading on our ETH bots for over 14 months. And our Base bots came out over 3 to 4 months ago. And our holders that are currently on ETH have been trying out our Base bots, but now we're bringing our Base bots out to the public. So anybody who's interested in trying out the Base bots can come into the Telegram or come to the website and then check it out and then try out the Base bots, but you'll be able to use those now. So that's exciting news. That's something that we're
very, very exciting. It's new, never been done before. And it's just an extension of AI Sig ETH. And both are revolutionizing the blockchain in terms of AI incorporating into the tech and trading. And honestly, it blows my mind every day thinking about it, because it's such a great opportunity. Like if you're coming from Web 2, you're used to 2x maybe,
or 5% return on your savings account.
And 5%, 5% is nothing in Web3. Nothing for AI Sig. You're talking 500% at minimum.
Yeah, it's like a 5x is 500%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And then the thing that people, like, it's built also with AI. So we take over 75 different variables and plug it into the AI. And then it scrapes and then uses APIs and finds the best tokens to predict on the predictive model. And the thing that people don't understand, like with AI, a lot of people can utilize AI, right? Now it's becoming more prevalent. So you can use it in your social media. You can use it in creating things. You can write books with it. You can create code with it. You can write resumes with it. There's so many things to do. But also with AI, AI will adjust and go based off of the information that you provide it. And then it upgrades itself based on the past information that you have given it. And it also is searching all the web, searching all the information to come up with the output. But it also, AI is also dependent on what info you input. So if you're putting something into AI and you're trying to get a great output on it, AI will adapt to it. But the cleaner and the better your input is the better you're going to get on your output. So kind of like AI is like Google on steroids. You can search and find anything and any information that you want through AI. But if you're trying to create something, you want to put in as clean of information into the AI, so your output comes out clean too. And that's what people don't realize. Like AI's, it's benefited a lot of opportunities, but you also want to make sure that you're inputting good information into it to get a good output.
It's all about the logistics and the code behind it and all what you're scraping and all that fun stuff. And it's you can say you're making an AI and it can do all this stuff, but it's one thing to say and it's a completely other thing to do it. It takes years upon years of practice and market analysis to actually figure out what works and what doesn't. It takes a lot of testing, a lot of time. It can't be done. And I like some people say, oh, I can build an AI for trading and it'll take me a month. It'll take you a month to probably analyze even like the base level information of that market. And then it'll take you another 6 months to actually kind of organize it even the slightest bit. And then you're probably going to spend the rest of that year trying to compile it into what you actually need and how you can actually get that information from the charts.
Yeah, because if you're just reading charts are great. But if you're trying to do predictive based on what you think a chart will do ahead of the chart doing it, not just like doing transactional, you know, just not like TA, but if you're trying to predict what a chart's going to do or why it's doing it, you need the correct inputs to put into it. So like we've been in Web3 and we've been in crypto for quite a while. So we know what's going on as somebody launches a token or launches an NFT or does anything on Web3. We know kind of what their game plan is, like what they do to market it, what they do to push out, how do they build it up in their community, how they create volume, how they create interest and get it to move, like to get people to pick it up. Because if you're just like you're launching any business, if you're launching a business, you have to create a hype, you have to get people interested, and you have to get the word out that your business exists. So it's the same thing when you launch an NFT or Web3 project or a token. You have to make sure that you hit those target markets and those people and create an interest and show that there's a value. And so we've created AI that finds what people do to push something out, to get it out to the public. It's one of the key things that we do. But by being in Web3, like if somebody came over and they're normally from like the financial markets and they're normally in real life of stocks and bonds, we do a different type of marketing in crypto and Web3 than we do in financial markets. Because financial markets is, you know, either US based or international based, and it has a lot of its regulatory information and it's kind of streamlined. It's been around for a long time. And so everybody does the same thing over and over. But Web3 is a little bit more creative on how it gets the word out to everybody.
Creative, but also I'll say like more. It's not as traditional as
right. It was very underground for a long time too. Until exactly. We move over.
It's a lot of underground information sharing and a lot of influencer based. Information sharing.
Callers and, yeah, communities.
KOLs and influencers, right. And communities. And then you can get even deeper and you can start saying like, oh, I want this person to say this, but I also want them to do that. And like, you can literally tell people what to do in Web3 and they do it. You can't do that in Web2.
Well.
Yeah, I've seen it all. Seen it all.
So now we're getting deep, but Web3 is fun. So we're seeing a lot of businesses come over. We help other businesses and help tokens launch and community takeovers launch and, you know, get them to do what they need to do to get their token back and revived. And so, but the bots pick it all up. The bots pick up the new launches, the bots pick up community takeovers, the bots pick up revivals. They pick up when ETH and BTC starts to have its bounce back. So
they pick up on our favorite word or we'll say phrase, the Coke bottle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, finds Coke bottles.
We've explained that before, but to refresh your memory, it's when a chart is range trading and it's waiting for a significant event to occur, such as pushes from these callers or communities to take it to that breakout level and push it higher above an ATH or even just to break out of a slump.
Yeah. So it's like shaking a Coke bottle over and over again. You take the lid off and the Coke bottle explodes. The same thing happens with the token. The token's been like holding the floor stable, and then all of a sudden a big announcement comes out from everybody, and then everyone finds out that the token is getting called, and then it just runs. It just takes off. And that's the Coke bottle exploding. Like a Mentos and a Coke bottle.
The Mentos. Like you put the Mentos in the Coke and you shake it up, put the lid on it, and
it explodes.
Bam, it explodes.
Right. That's our Coke bottle. Our analogies. We teach with images.
Images and analogies to make it a lot, to make it easier for people to understand like what to look for in a chart, because a lot of people haven't done technical analysis or chart analysis before, and these simple analogies help them visualize what it's going to look like.
Right. And then the other thing good about the bots too is you don't have to know how to read a chart to be able to use the bots. It comes over as if you're reading a text format. It tells you the name of the token, what the market cap is, and then the information about it and all the analytics. And so you can be as novice all the way to as advanced by reading charts and bubble maps and taxes and all the other analytics. All that information comes over, but it also comes over in the simplest form. So it comes over with just the pings. We call them pings. So every single time it says this token, it has a high probability that it's going to start running. It's like watching a stock terminal or Bloomberg terminal and seeing the stock price coming over on the monitor. It'll say the stock and what the stock price is, and it'll keep coming over. And as you see the stock price increase, you know that that is going to have a high potential. That stock is going to keep going. It's the same thing, the way that these bots ping everybody. They come over with the name of the token, the ticker symbol, and the market cap. And as that stock, like it looks like a stock, but as the token increases in value, you'll see the market cap increasing. You know it's a good entry point to enter into the trade. And then we also have an exit channel that tells you predictive before the chart turns a different way also. So you could range trade on it. But it comes over simple as far as advanced as you want it to. So when it comes over simple, you just see the ticker, the market cap, and then how many times it pinged. And then you can look at the analytics and then see if it's locked, renounced, if the taxes are lowered, if the taxes are 5-5 or lower, what the percentage on holder count is, what the contract's doing, how many airdrops there were, what the chart looks like, if there's any bubble maps. You can look as many detailed information as you want or as simple as you want.
Yep. And for those of you who are hearing that for the first time, I recommend going back to the episode where we had Dan from TTF come on and explain more in depth what each of those analytics mean and how they can be utilized. That will probably help guide you as we touch on these points again. Recommend going back and listening to all the other episodes. Each of them have, so I'd say at least 5 or 6 major key points that if you're missing them and we're reiterating them over and over again, just go back, listen from the start. There's always going to be something that you'll miss the first time listening, and then you'll pick it up.
Understand. And yeah. Yeah. So like if you go back to our past episodes, we talked about crypto, how to start a wallet in crypto, how to trade on the bots, how to do analytics on the bots, Slang in Web3. We had a couple episodes on that. what the words mean that we're talking, what the slang means. And then, I mean, like just talking about slang, there's a lot of memes going on in the real world right now that have carried over into crypto, and crypto has carried over into the real world. I'm not going to say what they are.
Thank you.
I won't say it. No.
Yeah,
everyone knows what the viral memes are that are going on right now. There's probably 10 tokens on those memes. So,
at least 10.
But a minimum of 10. Or like usually when Elon would say something, we would get 20 tokens on whatever Elon's tweet was, but that hasn't been as prevalent lately.
Now it's like the top 10 memes, and
right?
10 or 20 of them will come out of the same meme. But AI Sync helps you pick the right one that'll actually
the top one, right?
And it'll send the highest. You'll make the most return on it. And another added benefit to AI Sync, you can help pick out the one to go for. There's a popular meme trending. You see it trending. Oh my God, 1,000 of them start going on the market. AI Sync will tell you the best one to go for with the highest odds of success.
Right. So, but I mean, we have the trading bots, and then we have a travel bots now too. So the travel bots have been built out for over a year, and those are coming out to the public. So the travel bots, like the travel that I've been doing, the travel hacks, those are coming out. So you can do those on subscription model. And we have crypto travel too. So we have a VIP concierge service. So you can find the travel hacks, like you get access to the travel hacks. Like, so I did Maui waterfront for $700 a week in a studio, like on the water at a resort. And then I'm doing Barbados for $250 a week, in a one bedroom next to the water. I did Crete $25 a night waterfront. What else? I did Santorini, $45 a night in Thera, which is like the heart of the town of Santorini. Most Santorini is like $800 to $2,000 a night. I got it for $45 a night. I got Persa Beach in Santorini for $25 a night. It's like steps to the water in a one bedroom overlooking a pool. So we have travel hacks. So you can travel the world, luxury style travel hacks, and be able to travel the world. So we have a VIP concierge service for that too. And then other AI stuff coming out. We have 5 new pieces of tech that does not exist anywhere being released soon too. Everything will come out in stages, not all at once, but it's all been built out for a while, beta tested, proved, and then actually used it. I've traveled
it's
on
been
all
tested. It's everything's been tested so far. So
right. Yeah, so I don't release tech until I've actually beta tested it, had it existing for a while, and then tested it and proved that it works.
You need that proof. Proof is everything, and especially when you're dealing with AI, if you don't have proof, I don't know how you can effectively market it, because AI, anyone can say they have an AI nowadays, right? You can go in there and be like, oh, I have an AI that predicts price action. But until you've done 14 months of proof, can you really say that it works?
Right. And if it's not even built out.
If it's not even built out, words are such a valuable thing. And if people are throwing around that they can build something and that they have built something, my honest and from experience is don't take them for their word, but make sure you see what they've done. If they haven't provided or done anything to prove that they can actually accomplish what they're saying, or they have accomplished what they're saying, it's not worth the risk.
Right. Yeah. I prefer to go into technology that exists versus technology that is coming soon. Coming soon doesn't usually end up, I mean, ones that are already built out, that's great. And they've already beta tested it and people have used it and they've had members and active people on it. That's awesome. But ones that haven't built out yet.
No.
Yeah. And it's okay. I mean, whenever there's new cycles of technology, we're going to have all these different types of people coming into the market. So.
Always. And like new businesses coming in now, it's going to be super cool and refreshing to see all these Web 2 businesses entering Web 3, new eyes, new investors, new chances for people to get into the game and into like the real ecosystem to understand what's actually happening. Like your story, Elizabeth, when you first came into Web 3, starting off and just exploring communities, then because of your expertise in Web 2, they ask you to start alpha calling in Web 3. And from that, you built a reputation. Everyone liked you, and you had this big name, and you had all this tech and AI built out. And you're like, oh my God, I have the experience. I know what this is. I know how to implement it. Now I can just go. And with all these companies coming in now, we're going to start seeing CEOs and or representatives from businesses start hopping in these communities, and they're going to be like, okay, so this is a common term. Okay, so this is what they like. This is what we need to watch out for. This is what we can't say on Twitter. This is what we can say on Twitter. This is what'll drive hype. It's all about learning the norms of the market that you're entering. That demographic, because Web3 is a crazy demographic. You're targeting a worldwide audience.
Right, all international. Everybody's international. Exactly. In Web3. Yeah.
Everyone's international, and everybody, they'll stick together.
I think the cutest thing I saw is on IG, somebody is like, when you scroll through IG, you'll get random posts. Somebody was explaining terms that were Web3 terms. It was like a kid saying what Web3 terms were. And it's gone over into the real life. They were like talking about Moggy.
Wait, whoa. Like,
what are the terms? If it means it's good, it's called Moggy, Moggy.
Moggy.
I'm like, that's a Web3 term. Like, how did they get that one? And then like Riz, but Riz is everywhere. So that's like on Web2, Web3. But they also said there was a couple other ones that were interesting that I'm like, those are Web3 terms. How do they get those? It's over. It's like kids are saying them now.
I want to say like the term pump it up was from Web3.
Right.
But I know it was used a lot.
Well, I mean, Pump It Up's probably been around for a while too,
Yeah, it 100% has. But I think it was tied to like the NFT and meme culture.
Yeah, and then what's it called? Wall Street Bets.
GME and all that stuff. And then Apes Together Strong, Apes Alone Weak.
Right. Yeah, so it's funny. It's cute. It's funny how like the meme culture is over in real life, and it's also the meme culture is over in Web3, and then slang is over in real life, and slang is over in Web3, and at least everybody will understand each other now. we won't need a dictionary anymore for Web3. Everybody already understands.
They'll understand what we're saying. They'll be like, okay, I get that.
I understand.
You're Moggy. I don't like that term. I had to say it. It was so weird.
I know.
The terms like that get me. They make me cringe. Yeah, it's so moggy.
Whatever the token of the day is.
Exactly. Whatever the token of the day is. Whatever the real sender is.
Okay, term.
Also, I want to note that everything we say is not financial advice. Always do your own research. This is purely for educational purposes only.
And entertainment.
And entertainment.
Big entertainment.
Well, yeah, but it's fun. I hope you're entertained. We're here rambling and having a great time. And we hope you guys have had a great time listening to us. Like every single week we come back on here and we absolutely love sharing our knowledge with you guys.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's an adventure. We've been
hills and valleys.
Bringing over insights from Web3 over to Web2, and then bringing Web2 over into Web3. That's the goal, right? Everything's international. I mean, the one thing that everybody always says is they wanted on their bucket list to do everything that they want to do on their bucket list, to travel the world, to have freedom, to have time, to have knowledge, to have friendships. And so that's the goal, right?
The goal is to provide everybody with the dream that they've always wanted and give them the ability to do it. That's always been it. Just teach people, help them, guide them in any way that we can so you can achieve your dreams and your goals. And that's it.
Right. Or have fun at least listening to it.
Or have fun listening. You know what? We've dropped so much alpha in like all of our episodes now. I think like, we've definitely seen at least maybe two or three of our ideas that we've talked about actually become a business.
They've come to life. Yeah, we've seen a lot of things come to life lately.
So if you're one of those people, props to you. Congrats. And I'm hoping that everybody that tunes in can be like that one day and take that information that they get from these episodes and start something, do something, have fun with it, enjoy it.
Travel the world, have freedom, and then do what you love, pursue your passion. And then I'll be talking to y'all from Barbados next week.
Oh, yeah. It's not aloha there. No. I don't know what we're going to
get
there.
I know what the slang is when I get there. And the food.
And the food. Honestly, I think that's a great place to wrap up.
Thank you, everyone. It was wonderful. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Catch you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.